Now, I've just got some verses of scripture that I'd like to read tonight in the prophet Isaiah. And we're starting at chapter 9, which is sort of where we finished this afternoon. And verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful." Now, just a little bit farther on in chapter 32 of Isaiah. Chapter 32 and verse 1. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the storm, as brooks of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land." And verse 17 of the same chapter. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Now in chapter 52 of Isaiah, chapter 52 and verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be lifted up and be very high, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the children of men. So shall he astonish many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them shall they see, and what they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed?" Just before I asked one of the younger ones here what they thought I should speak about tonight. And after reflecting upon it, I decided that I wanted to speak about someone who was wonderful. You know, that's what the gospel comes down to. It's not how much I know, it's who I know. It's not even how much I know about the person that I'm going to tell you about. You probably know as much as I do as to the pathway of Jesus, the one whom we were speaking about this afternoon, who was born in Bethlehem's manger. The one who was caught up to heaven, ascending up on high, having completed the work that was given him to do. And I could tell you the story of what he did when he was here, but you know it anyway. The fact is he wonderful to you? Or is it just another gospel preaching, where you're going to have to sit and listen for a few minutes to the things you already know? You may wonder that I stand and preach the gospel here when I reflect back upon when I was younger. And because I was thankful to be brought up in a Christian home, I knew about Jesus. I knew quite a lot. Or some anyway, I shouldn't say quite a lot. I knew some passages from the Bible because they'd been read at home. When my parents opened the Bible and we read together, there were some passages of scripture that I could have almost recited for you. But there was a time when Jesus became wonderful to me. Now I know that everyone that's here in this room today knows their Bible, knows parts of their Bible, knows about Jesus. But one thing I want to tell you just as I start the gospel this evening is this. That very soon, the course of things in this world's going to change. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a most remarkable event that's going to happen. It describes it as an archangel's voice and a trump of God. It's something that'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord himself will come and will take everyone who knows him and loves him and trusts him to be with him eternally. And I want to just awaken you to this fact, that when he comes, it won't be a case of how many Bible verses you can recite. It won't be a case of how many gospel meetings you've attended. It won't be a case of how many good works you've done throughout your life. It'll be your link with the Saviour and whether he's really wonderful to you. I know that this one of whom I speak tonight is wonderful in heaven. I know his Father loves him. He has good reason to love him. He's done all things well. One day I shall be with him in my home above, because he's told me he's gone to prepare a place for me, and he's done it already. It's there just waiting. The time when he calls me to be with himself, that place is there. And I know that I shall share the Father's joy in Jesus when I'm there. The Father loves the Son, and he's caused us to share that love too. Of course, this scripture in Isaiah 9, it goes on to tell us about other things about him too, that he's a counselor, that he's the Father of eternity. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. But I couldn't tell you about all those things in the gospel because there's not time. I just want to remind you tonight that you need to have a personal link with Jesus as your Saviour. You need to know what it is for your sins to be washed away in his precious blood. And when you know that, you'll know he's wonderful. There's nothing more precious than to have that burden of sin lifted from you. To know that all that stood between yourself and God has gone forever. Even to the point where he's promised he won't remember it anymore. And tonight, I'm preaching the gospel here, because though I know everybody that's here, what I don't know is whether the burden of sin's been rolled away from off your back, as to whether Jesus has come into your life and into your heart. If he has, he'll be wonderful to you. And my question is he? It's a wonderful day, you know, when Jesus comes into our life. A wonderful day when we surrender to him. A wonderful day when we ask him to forgive us our sins and to be our Saviour. And if you've never done it before, you can do it today. The scripture says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So you don't even need to put it off until you get home. You can turn to Jesus even now and ask him to forgive you. As that old hymn says, you can swing those heart's doors widely open and let him enter while you may. And tonight, God's not holding it against you that perhaps you've heard the gospel and have ignored it. He's not holding it against you that your sins are dark, are blots between him and you. But he's saying, I've got a Saviour who can meet all your need. and I want him to be wonderful to you. And if there's anyone here tonight, you can turn to him. I was going to say today, but you know, even today may be too late. Because who knows when he's going to come? I don't know how far that clock may turn before Jesus comes. But I know he's coming soon. And I know that now, this moment, is the accepted time. And it's a day of salvation. And you can come just as you are and own him as your own personal Saviour right now and have a personal transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. You can know him as your Saviour before you leave this room tonight. When I come to Isaiah 32, this wonderful Saviour, you know, day is coming when he's going to reign in righteousness. The scripture tells us, and it's quite a challenge to my heart, when I think about it, that there's not one righteous person, not even one. Solemn, that, isn't it? Say, well, I do my best. Well, I hope you do. I do too. But there's hardly a day goes past when I'm not disappointed. My efforts are nothing before God. In actual fact, the scripture tells me that my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. How much value in them is there? But you see, the one who I told you about a few moments ago, who's wonderful, when he died on the cross, he upheld every righteous requirement of God. He did all things perfectly according to the will of God. And when he proclaimed there upon the cross and said, "It is finished," it wasn't just his work that was finished, but he had finished in the upholding of every righteous requirement of God, which he'd done from the day of his birth. Holy, spotless Lamb of God. That's how the scripture describes him. And this is the one who, in a day to come, is going to take up the reins of government in this world. Isn't he wonderful? You think of the state that things are in today. You look at the governments that there are in the world and in the countries round about. And you say, oh dear, however can it happen that conditions of peace will preside upon this earth when you look at the persons in responsibility? However can a scripture be fulfilled that says that the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover this earth as the waters cover the sea? How are these changes going to take place? Friend, after the days of tribulation that we were speaking about this afternoon, a man is going to reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and as a covert from the storm. Oh, friend, who is this man? This man is Jesus. This is the one who was crucified upon the cross at Calvary. This is the one who suffered reproach and spitting and mockery when there upon the cross. This is the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the one who, when reviled, reviled not again, and when suffering, threatened not, but gave himself up into the hands of the one who judges righteously. This is the one who went into the grave and burst its power asunder and came forth triumphant, mighty victor over death. This is the one who's ascended in the glory, the one who suffered and died for me. And he's coming soon. And not only will he come to take me to be with him forever, but he's going to come to reign upon this earth, and then his title will be fulfilled, the Prince of Peace. The politicians of this world can never do it, but my Saviour can. Isn't it wonderful? You think what Jesus will yet do. And because it's so certain that what is prophesied as to him will be fulfilled, he has that name already, Prince of Peace. There is no question. There is no doubt. The glory and greatness of my Saviour will be established on this earth in a day to come. If he's able to transform the chaos of this world into an order of things that's according to the heart of God, won't you trust him with your soul salvation? Won't you trust him to be your personal saviour? Won't you trust him to remove those sins away and give you peace with God? It says of him here that he'll be as brooks of water in a dry place, shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Have you got an anchor for your soul? Do you know what it is to have him as a great rock in your life? An anchor for you when everything around you is shifting sand? Do you know what it is to make him and give him the first place in all things? That's often a test, isn't it? Will you give him that place tonight? In your heart? In your life? Let's put it another way. Is he wonderful to you? Or is he just an appendage to your life? Day is coming when Christ will be the center. He'll be the center in relation to this earth. He'll be the one who rules. Tonight, for you, he'll be a covert from the storm. Storms do come, don't they? Storms of life. Storms of anxiety. Storms of doubt. They come. No matter how strong your faith, they come. He'll be a covert from the storm. He'll be a hiding place when the winds get strong. Have you found him? Have you found this wonderful person? Do you know what it is to surrender your heart, your life, your all to him? Think of it like this. When he went that way to Calvary and he suffered and died, he gave up a life that was absolutely perfect before God. He was sinless. He was the object of his Father's delight. He gave all that he had for you. What will you give for him? He's worthy of that place, isn't he? And tonight he would speak to the hearts of every one of us, young or old. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin? Have you got room in your busy schedule to make room for Jesus and to give him the place that's his? He's worthy of it. Let's just yield to Christ and each one. Let's open our hearts' doors to him and let him have the place that he's so worthy of. Come to Isaiah 52. My servant shall deal prudently. Oh, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Christ. He shall be exalted and be lifted up and be very high. Oh, you think of what man did to him when there upon that cross. He went that way for you, you know, and me. Scripture says, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. Why, do you not know the drawing power of the gospel? God commands all men to repent. Yes, indeed he does. It's his commandment. But it's the drawing power of divine love. As you see that Saviour there upon the cross, he died for me. He shed his precious blood so that I might be redeemed. So that I might know every sin completely washed away. And when he was there, this prophecy tells us that his visage was marred more than any man's. You think of that. Think of what he suffered when he was there upon the cross. He suffered at the hands of men. The anguish of what was inflicted upon him by wicked men when he was crucified and slain. But no one knows what he went through in those 3 hours of darkness when he bore God's wrath in relation to my sin. When the earth was covered in darkness, so that what transpired between a holy God and his beloved Son, whom he forsook for those 3 hours upon the cross in order to take my sins away. No one witnessed that transaction. But oh, the wonder of it and the triumph of divine love that all has been done. His form more than the children of men. Oh, you think of what Jesus has suffered for you. He loved you enough to go that way. The wonder of the gospel is that we can tell you that his love remains the same. Sometimes when you feel a bit alone, sometimes when you feel that no one understands the way you are and the way you feel, yet there's a man in the glory who knows it all exactly. He's been the way of suffering and of death. And now he lives in the glory. And he's interceding on behalf of every one of us. Oh, you think of that? Service of the Lord that continues on behalf of those that love him. Isn't he wonderful to pray for you and me? Interceding at times when we're down, bearing us up before the throne of grace, praying for us to his God and Father. And those prayers are always acceptable to God, because it's Christ himself that's bearing them up before the throne of grace. All these are wonderful things, you know, that are open to us in the gospel. A day is coming when even the nations will be amazed, this scripture tells us. Things they hadn't heard before. And they will see them. The glory of the Lord will be manifested in that day to come. But in that day, the day of grace will have passed. It's the day of grace now. It's the day of salvation now. And the question is, who has believed our report? Have you? So often we can be taken up with things here. But believing doesn't mean assenting to. Believing means believing not just in a message. It's believing on a person. God's only Son has given his life and died upon Calvary's tree to save you from your sins. A wonderful act, a wonderful person. And tonight, the question to each one of us is, have you believed God's report? Have you believed it? When Jesus comes to take us to be with himself, it'll be those that have believed his report that go to be with him. And my earnest prayer is that everyone here, from youngest to oldest, will be among them. I know I shall be. I thank God because I trust in the precious blood of Jesus. I know my sins are forgiven, and I can look forward to the day when he comes. And I shall answer to that call, not in my own power, but he will take me to be with himself because he loved me. Not because of what I've done, not how good or bad I've been in my pathway here, but because he loved me, that's why he'll take me. And because I believed the report that he gave of the Saviour of sinners. Well, the gospel's preached for you tonight, for your acceptance. I would love to think that everybody here tonight would believe this report. Amen. Don't just assent to it. Just say, well, it's another gospel. I'll come again next week and hear another one. Now, I have to do with the Saviour now. Turn to him and own him as your own personal Saviour. And be a believer. You've heard that title, haven't you? So-and-so, a believer. Well, you be among them tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. And it's true. And you can believe tonight and be saved as well. So just come. Whosoever will can come. So that includes you. And if you come tonight, you can know your sins washed away and have this wonderful peace with God. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.